Hi, I'm Paul Anderson, and I'm your moderator for part two of our podcast on the Partnership for Health IT Patient Safety's new toolkit, Closing the Loop, using Health IT to mitigate delayed, missed, and incorrect diagnoses related to diagnostic testing and medication changes. In part one, we discussed the importance of closing the loop for diagnostic tests and medication changes. In this second part, we'll focus on the factors that influence workflow, the use of technology, and development of safer practices. We're joined today by Patty Jafrida, a patient safety analyst and health IT liaison for the Partnership for Health IT Patient Safety at ECRI Institute. Patty facilitated the Closing the Loop workgroup. We'll also be joined by Dr. Christoph Lehmann, who is professor for pediatrics and biomedical informatics at Vanderbilt University. Dr. Lehmann serves on the partnership's expert advisory panel and served as the chair of the partnership's Closing the Loop workgroup. We'll also hear from Dr. Hardeep Singh, who is a general internist and chief of the Health Policy, Quality, and Informatics Program at the Center for Innovations in Quality, Effectiveness, and Safety, based at the Michael E. DeBakey Veterans Affairs Medical Center and Baylor College of Medicine. Dr. Singh serves on the partnership's expert advisory panel and has studied and reported on closing the loop issues. In addition, Dean Siddig, PhD, will join us. Dr. Siddig is the Christopher Sarafim Professor of Biomedical Informatics and Bioengineering in the School of Biomedical Informatics at the University of Texas Health Science Center. Dr. Siddig serves on the partnership's expert advisory panel and has conducted extensive research on HIT-related issues. Finally, we're joined by Mark Siegel, PhD, a health IT regulatory expert and principal at Digital Health Policy Advisors, LLC. So is this issue, this issue of closing the loop, is this unique to technology?
Closing the loop for test results management and medication changes is not a new problem in healthcare. This happens in all practice settings. It is also not an issue that has been caused by technology.
Closing the loop is akin to what other people might call acknowledging a transmission. So anytime that you try to communicate, it's essential that you are sure that the person that you're communicating with has received the message. In healthcare, we're trying to make sure that we send a laboratory test to the lab. We'd like to know whether it was received in the lab. When the results are posted, the lab would like to know that someone has reviewed those test results. The patient would like to know the results of those tests. And we need to know at each point in those in that process that the person that was responsible for taking the next step actually took the next step. Closing the loop or acknowledging the communication is one of the most essential things we can do to improve the safety and quality of our healthcare system. Technology alone does not solve these problems. And so while the technology can monitor that queue, it can send the acknowledgments, it can help with the escalation, there's a huge social aspect to this problem.
So you've worked on this issue extensively, which you've mentioned, and I wonder if you could expand a little bit on some of the commonalities in closing the loop for the referral process and then also for the diagnostic process.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of common themes we've seen between the referral process and the follow-up of the test results, closing the loop process. And so a couple of very interesting similarities. So when we did this work earlier, I gave you some numbers from the referral process that around 6-7% of information is getting lost at 30 days when it travels from point A to point B, which is, you know, from the journalist to the specialist or back. It is very coincidental that we also found that in follow-up of abnormal test results, the number of test results that are lost to follow-up, abnormal test results in the outpatient setting, is also around 7%. And the number, this is actually for number for labs, and for abnormal imaging test results, failure to close the loop at 30 days is around 8%. So it tells you that almost, you know, speaking very obviously broadly here, about 7% of information that is very relevant, either it's related to referral process or it's related to the testing process, is lost to follow up at 30 days. And that's a striking similarity we've seen in our work.
Escalation of reminding people what needs to be done, of ensuring that the work has been done. These are universal concepts in all form of high reliability communication. And any time you need to send a message to someone else, you need to know that they got there.
There's a diffusion of responsibility in a, especially like a fragmented outpatient setting, we find sort of common themes emerging when there are a lot of people involved. So in the referral process, for instance, specialist, maybe the primary care, the patient, in the testing process, it could be a physician who orders the test, but then also a primary care doctor who's responsible for that patient, as well as the patient themselves. And whenever there's a diffusion of responsibility as to who's responsible for follow-up of that patient, things can go wrong. And we've seen striking similarities between the diagnostic process-related referrals as well as diagnostic process related to the test result follow-up in terms of diffusion of responsibility, not close the loop.
What came out of this work group were a set of recommendations that are focused on a number of major topics. They include communication, tracking, and linking information. And these recommendations suggest things that providers and institutions and vendors of electronic healthcare records or laboratory information systems or radiology information systems can do to improve outcomes. For example, we learned about a radiology group that had a tracking tool within their software that allowed them to see that an information that the report was received by a physician and acknowledged by a physician. This technology resulted in a lot less missed reports.
Technology can help in both reminding people that a loop needs to be closed by providing a list of things that need to be addressed. It can also provide documentation that the loop has been closed. And it can also send the message back to the person that has sent the message that you have acted upon the message. And then perhaps more importantly, it can automatically escalate issues that have not been addressed, say, for several days, meaning perhaps someone sent me a message and I'm out of the office, and so I'm not going to get it. And the computer can look through that file or log and see that that's not been acted on and send it to someone else.
A series of recommendations came out of this group. And as I said, they focus on communication, tracking of tests, as well as linking of information on linking actions that have been done. And those recommendations have been put on paper, and we are very interested in sharing the results of what we have learned from this work.
Dr. Lehman, are there any of the recommendations that you would particularly like to highlight?
Yeah, I'm a particular fan of the recommendation to attach information to laboratory or radiology tests that allow you to record the status of that particular test. So the example is, once a test has been sent out, it can be tagged as pending. Once the result has returned, the tag has returned. A provider has seen the result, it can be acknowledged. And most importantly, which I'm really excited about, is the possibility to attach an action that has been taken as a result of this test. So this not only increases the safety for the patient and involves here, but it reduces an enormous amount of overhead. Because this is such a big problem, we have systems of redundancy in place. More than one person is charged with making sure that we're closing the loop. By adding these tags, the metadata, we can reduce some of the redundancy and we can reduce some of the overhead that we have as a result of it.
You mentioned that some of the recommendations touch on things like improved interoperability and the adoption of standards. So how can healthcare organizations and vendor and developer organizations collaborate with each other and with government regulators to drive some of those ideas, to drive interoperability and the adoption of appropriate standards?
That's a great question, and I think at one level, a key part of the answer is in the question itself, the focus on collaboration. But it's really through the collaboration of these key stakeholders that these kind of advances will take hold. Now, some specific areas where there are opportunities for collaboration. One is working together to identify potential needs to refine certain certification criteria. Again, these are the criteria that indicate, in a sense, the design features of particular aspects of EHRs and other health IT, and especially where particular vocabularies like SNOMED are called for, and including in these regulatory criteria when the parties need to use updated vocabularies that may better support some of the recommendations in the report, and or the allowance to use these updated vocabularies even when formal regulatory action has not been able to occur. We see in the latest, the so-called 2015 edition of certified EHR technology issued by the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, that there were enhancements in various terminologies that you can get, including SNOMED and LOINC, both of which are called out in the report. This new edition of certified EHR technology will be required for use next year. So with that, we see both how the process advances the use of updated vocabularies and other technologies, but also we see by the fact that we're talking about using an edition that was finalized in 2015 with first required use in 2019, how in some ways that the regulatory process does not really move as quickly as we need or as quickly as the sort of collaborative work in the private sector can move forward. Also, you know, I'd say a second area to really work together is in developing, identifying the priorities for particular incentive programs. For example, what has been called until recently the Meaningful Use Program, the EHR Incentive Program, which has now been renamed by TMS as Promoting Interoperability Programs. And as part of its proposal for this new approach, specifically CMS has proposed to rename and refine its health information exchange measures. Those are really about interoperability between providers. Specifically, it's renaming them around supporting electronic referral loops. And so this really reflects the policymakers' recognition that closing loops, whether it's for referral or whether it's for provision of diagnostic information, that that's a critical reason for interoperability, because interoperability is really not an end in itself, but it's intended to serve particular purposes, what are sometimes called use cases. Now, OMC, in addition to the work by CMS in its incentive programs, prioritizes and identifies standards through several types of documents. They publish an annual interoperability standards advisory that indicates which standards are available and appropriate for particular purposes. It maintains a common clinical data set, which identifies what are the structured data elements that should be available in clinical summaries exchanged between providers or made available to patients. And then ONC has also proposed to transition to what they're calling the U.S. Core Data for Interoperability. Again, a structured set of data elements and associated standards. Now, overall, standards should be and really are developed by the private sector. But elements of the federal government, notably but not exclusively ONC and CMS, the Department of Defense, the VA, also have an important role in prioritizing and highlighting needs and contributing to the standards process. Now, also collaborating to ensure that closing the loop is a central use case driving interoperability priorities and policy is really important. So again, it's important as you look at approaches to interoperability that you're clear why you're focusing on interoperability. And so I think this report from the partnership is really critical in highlighting the importance of that use case. A couple of other just areas related to standards I want to call out. Some of the recommendations in the report call out the opportunities for using really some emerging technology approaches that are important both in public policies and in the technology field, particularly the use of standards-based application programming interfaces, or APIs, and the HL7 Fast Healthcare Interoperability Resources Standard, or FHIR as it's called, for example, to aggregate and merge patient data from separate data sources. Also, just finally, a couple of other key standards areas where working together, those standards can be both refined and really more widely used. For example, the NCPDP standards and the associated capabilities that use those standards to communicate about medication discontinuation and changes, something that the report really focused on, or the use of standards to communicate lab results, notably using LOINC codes, and, for example, the appropriate use and the standard use of these standards can facilitate the matching of results and orders and things of that sort. So these are all areas where sort of the industry and government can work together to advance interoperability for particular priority purposes, such as the subject of this report.
Think about all the different ways in which a problem can be addressed and make sure that you don't leave anything out. And technology alone can't solve problems. It always requires people's and people processes along with the technology to improve safety and quality and reliability of your systems.
The safe practice recommendations for closing the loop and the supporting tools drafted by the workgroup are intended to address errors in failing to close the loop, which may not only result in misdiagnostic opportunities, but may lead to treatment failures. The Partnership for Health IT Patient Safety offers three recommendations for communicating, tracking, and linking, along with references and tools to facilitate their implementation to improve closing the loop for diagnostic testing and medication changes. The safe practice recommendations can be found at www.ecri.org/safe-practices, and you can also visit hitsafety.org. Thank you to our panel members and everyone who participated in today's podcast. For more information about the Partnership for Health IT Patient Safety, email us at hit@ecri.org. Please join us for additional podcasts from the Partnership for Health IT Patient Safety and ECRI Institute.